Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later on in the program, Robert Knott will be with us, as he is every Friday, speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome co-curators of the African Effect Film Festival at the Center for Contemporary Arts, the CCA Cinematheque, right here in Santa Fe. Samba Gajigo is a scholar of African cinema and a professor at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. And Jason Silverman is film curator at the CCA. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to have you. I've been watching some of the films, and it's an incredible film festival. Let's talk about this first. What African countries have actual thriving film industries versus just making what you can with the budget you have?
Yeah, I think thriving is an overstatement. I think when you look at the current situation of the continent at the economic level and at the social level, it is not surprising at all that there is no thriving film industry. As I always explain, we are the last continent to have access to cinematographic expression, although we have been represented through film in the early beginning of cinematography. And most of those countries have been colonized and now are going through whatever you call it, globalization, mondialization, and so on and so forth. So that still, they strongly believe that if there is going to be redemption of the continent, it has to be done through culture. In light of that, many countries have gone out of their way to make sure that their citizens, their country, have access to it. So to give you an example, in North Africa, for instance, if you take Egypt, it already had a thriving film industry already in the 20s. Now you take Morocco and Tunisia, actually in sub-Saharan Africa, in North Africa, in that part, they're the only ones, for instance, who have invested very heavily on post-production labs in Morocco and Tunisia. Now if you take sub-Saharan Africa, there is a new phenomenon that is happening now in Nigeria and in Ghana. Nigeria, which people have recently dubbed Bollywood, people produce more than 1,000 films a year in Nigeria.
Really?
Because of the digital revolution.
Right.
35mm, heavy, expensive, complicated. In the entire continent, sometimes people would not make 10 films a year. So, but in Nigeria now, you have over 1,000 films produced. So I think there is some kind of inequality, imbalance within the continent. And as Jason mentioned, since the end of apartheid, South Africa also has managed to build a thriving film industry, let's say at the technical level, because cinema is only a support. It is a content that is a problem. What kind of programs are we going to make? Are we going to just copy Hollywood in the risk of losing the soul of next generation?
Don't copy Hollywood. Don't copy Hollywood. That's the worst thing you could do.
Well, many, the temptation is great because that's where the money comes from and that's where the audience is. So you have to strike a balance between using that technique that you have acquired and putting your own cultural specificity into it.
Well, I think that's such an interesting conversation, which I think people can have by going to this film festival and looking at the difference between how Africa is represented in, you know, America, in Hollywood films or whatever, versus how African people represent themselves in their own film industry, own films.
Yeah, in that there is actually an evolution in that representation. If you take the 30s, for instance, the heydays of colonization, almost all images out of Africa were negative.
Now, even by African filmmakers?
There were none.
There were none.
The first film made by an African in Africa dates only 1962. So from the 30s to the 60s, it was just a colonial cinema. The British installed a British colonial film unit in East Africa. And Hollywood also reacted to it through the Tarzan movies. So those films were ideologically motivated. It is just to help build the colonial empires. Now, when then later, right now, you have Hollywood, that a new interest in Africa. And I think the intentions are better, but still it is an outside look. Now, Africans themselves took the camera, as I said, in 1962. You have different schools, you have different perceptions. You have Maestro Ousmane Sembène, whose cinema is a die-hard, committed political cinema. Now, let's not be misunderstood. Political cinema, but not the cinema of banner, so to speak. It's very rich culturally, aesthetically. It's just beautiful, beautiful film. So balancing the need to make a film a tool of education and also a tool of extracting what is essentially quintessential African art form and narrative traditions.
Well, one of the things that I was so struck by, I watched this film last night called Darat, The Dry Season, which is screening twice. I'm delighted to find out on Friday and Saturday at the CCA, at 1 at 4 and 4:15 on those 2 days, is a movie that addresses something that we've talked about a number of times on this program, which is the tension between achieving peace and justice in various African countries, whether it be Uganda or the Congo or wherever there's been a genocide. Do you bring people to justice or do you give them amnesty? And that is, that whole question is addressed in a way that is so personal and so beautiful and tense and just fascinating. I was on the edge of the couch the whole time watching this film. And it seems that in a number of these films, the way the political situations are addressed is so not purely ideological, but aesthetic and personal and psychological.
Yes, these are filmmakers who are really, they want to be the voice of the voiceless, meaning their people. Usually when people talk about what's happening in Rwanda, what has happened in Chad, what is happening in the Sudan, they always represent it as some kind of ethnic divisions and so on. It's because they don't go back and look at the history of it. You take Chad. Chad, you have the south that is Christian. You have the north that is Muslim. Those divisions that are inherited from colonial times are what is lingering right now. And on the eve of independence, the former colonial powers, instead of encouraging unity, they divided further the continent. That's what we are going through right now. Of course, the filmmakers are artists. They are not political decision makers. So what they are projecting here, and I completely agree with Jason in dubbing this edition, Transformation and Redemption. These are dreamers, so to speak, but positive dreams. Of course, what you see in the films is not the actuality of what is happening there, but they are projecting what could be done. If you start with revenge, where are you going?
Right.
And then the countries are going to be torn apart. And I'm sorry, then you have some Westerners who fly in there, oh yeah, we have to help these poor Africans. Without saying that they were at the origin of all, well, not all of those problems, but they have a very heavy responsibility. So I think if there is going to be redemption in Africa today, it is going to be through culture, through art. And I think this film, Darat, is exactly doing that in a very beautiful way.
A very beautiful way, indeed. Jason Silverman.
Well, I said this last night when we kicked off the festival. I'm not a scholar in African culture. I'm a film curator. And what attracted me to these films, I think, is something that you mentioned. It's the aesthetics. It's the sense of urgency. These are films that, by necessity, are labors of love. You cannot make a film in Africa in any easy way. There's no infrastructure. There's no crew. There's not financial support. So for a filmmaker to make a film like
that, there's not even necessarily, I would think, professional actors.
Well, that's by design. Many of them, for instance, you take again Maestro Sembène, you are dealing here with situations in rural Africa. For him to choose a well-groomed, well-trained actor from Dakar, from Paris, you ask them to play, to be under the skin of a peasant, it just does not fly. He once declared to the New York Times, he was asked, Mr. Sembène, why don't you use professional actors? He said, and I quote, professional actors are only good to play gangsters and the dead kings. But when it comes to representing peasants in Africa, it just becomes very, very artificial. And one of the reasons also cinema is not... Jason mentioned the difficulty of making films in Africa. Not only the directors are against very hard economic problems. You have to go outside, you have to raise the money. He who gives money controls the content most of the time. And in African states, since their films are a mirror, they are tending to our leadership, and the reflection is not beautiful. It's within the countries themselves that the idea to make films are fought.
One of the things, we're talking to Samba Gajigo and Jason Silverman, co-curators of the African Film Festival, which is this weekend, well, the 15th through the 18th of, that's now, yesterday through Sunday, whatever, at the CCA Cinematheque, the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. One thing that I have noticed in a lot of African films that I've seen is the ability to tell stories through pictures with probably less dialogue and less verbiage than a lot of American or Western films.
Yes, but that's they have to do that. It's a continent in which you have more than 2,000 languages. The reason that brought them first to film is the realization that dialogue throughout the continent is only possible from non-articulated language. Because in Senegal alone, which has 10 million people, you have more than 6 languages.
Yeah.
In what language are you going to make a film?
Right.
I take for an example of a film made in 1976 by Ousmane Sembène, Tcheddo. It's a historical film. The film lasts running time 2 hours, dialogue half an hour. All the rest of it, images, gesture, non-verbal devices, because those are the universals which can be understood in any culture and in any language. So yes, it has to be very, very sober, euphemistic, mostly silent cinema. In our cultures, African cinema, silence is as important as speech.
And a very effective cinematic technique. Even if everybody has a universal language, it works so well. And it made me think about not just the silence, but the whole way, for example, that this film Darat was made, and some of the others as well, about what it's like to make films within a society that is not media saturated, that is not full of advertising and television and all these, you know, bombardment of quick images. One has the sense, watching some of these films, that they are by and for people who actually have a longer attention span and see things other than media images.
Absolutely, although, and this is a catch-22, they're intended for the people. They're intended to educate the people. They are borrowed from a long-standing African tradition of cinema as an evening school in all oral cultures. I mean, getting together in the evening, transmitting knowledge from generation to generation. Actually, there is one of our wise people who used to say that in Africa, I quote, an elderly who dies is a library that burns, because memory is linked to longevity. There is no written books. But here again, the irony is, yes, I agree with you, those films are intended for the people. But 80% of the country does not have electricity. 80% of the country lives in under $2 a day, do not have access to the media. Intended audience, Africa. Actual audience, the West.
Is that right?
Yes, that's a sad story.
So the people who are seeing these films are people like us in Santa Fe watching the African Film Festival, the African Effect Film Festival, and not the people in Chad, for example?
My first time to see an African film was in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. And that was in the early 80s.
So what are activists of African cinema doing about that? I mean,
they are doing a lot. They are doing a lot. The continent gained independence in 1960, or most of it. Already in 1968, African first generation filmmakers realized that cinema, that art, that culture are political. Therefore, they have to unite, to organize, to form a collective voice. In 1969, in Tunisia, in Carthage, they formed the first association of filmmakers. They created the first Carthage Film Festival. In 1971, they formed the first FESPACO, Pan-African Film Festival, in Ouagadougou. And actually what's interesting is that at the creation of the African Unity in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in 1963, after the creation of that organization, African filmmakers always had a delegation that would go to the meeting with the head of states, meaning to form a lobby group.
They
have organizations, they have spokespeople, and they have regular meetings, and they have festivals. But again, as I say, they are not the decision makers. And again, one thing I do understand, I just came back from Senegal 10 days ago, because of the current economic situation, because India no longer wants to export rice because of its own exploding demographics, because Thailand does not want to export rice, we find ourselves in a situation where our populations do not have enough food, and rice is our staple. But because of the viciousness of colonial economy, we're made to produce what we don't consume and to consume what we don't produce. In that very difficult situation where you have to feed the population, cinema becomes a luxury or is perceived as a luxury. So yes, there are some areas where cinema is thriving, but I would not be surprised if there is a light regression in the production in light of, I mean, we were complaining here, the gallon of oil yesterday was $3.69. Over there, the liter is $4.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to balance things.
We're talking about the African Effect Film Festival, which is this weekend in Santa Fe. There is a movie called House of Mirrors, Africa Through Hollywood's Lens. Mm-hmm. Talk about this film.
Well, Africa Through Hollywood Lens, again, I like to quote Edward Said, the Palestinian activist and film critic who taught at Columbia University for years, who very brilliantly in two books, Orientalism and the Culture and the Imperialism, really summed up the role representation and art can play in politics, in consolidating. You conquer with weapons, you dominate through art and culture. So I could even say right now all the cinematographic representation by Africans is in reaction to Hollywood representation of Africans, those stereotypical images that come out of Hollywood. And they talk about Africa. There is no such thing as Africa.
Right.
You have 54 nation states. You have thousands and thousands of languages. So yes, I think as I said, all those films are in reaction. They want to represent Africa from an African perspective. But as you know, in film, he who controls distribution, controls production, also controls content. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be a seminar, actually, not a film.
And yeah.
We're going to show clips from various Hollywood films.
Yes.
And we're going to have Samba react to them in a way, and we're going to talk about it. Just as we're talking about the films now, and it's really interesting to think about how, the Africa in air quotes that Americans have in their mind versus, you know, the complex, rich, diverse culture that is Africa, and to have someone who understands both ends of it, which we have in Samba, it'll be an interesting experience. We'll show, you know, clips from Tarzan movies, from Black Hawk Down, from Blood Diamond. We're gonna look at recent films, and we're gonna see how the representation of Africa in Hollywood has shifted over time,
yeah,
and how there's still a lot of room for more realistic, more honest, more images that have more integrity.
And that's on Saturday at 2:45 in the afternoon at the Center for Contemporary Arts, and you're gonna be showing clips from The Last King of Scotland as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but again, this is a new phenomenon. As I said, the intentions are really better than what you'd see in purely colonial cinema. But yet, still an American perspective. And you have these Hollywood mega productions and so on, Blood Diamond, Hotel Rwanda, and what have not. And this is, I think, there will come a point where our leadership will have to think about this. We are talking about since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989, a new phenomenon. We have borderless images, so said, but flowing only in one direction, from the north to the south. You go to Senegal today, a person my age or a woman in your generation, for instance, the way they dress, what they eat, what they watch, reflect the power relations, cultural power relations between the north and the south. Right. We are bombarded every day by images from the outside world. And our even what's even dangerous is that our consciousness of ourselves is shaped by those images made up of us outside. And our great filmmaker who passed last year, Ousmane Sembène, said to me a few months before he died, we're talking about his latest film. I told him, why are you going to this hardship to make film? And his answer was just stunning. In this 21st century, any country, any culture, any civilization that does not control its images is bound to disappear.
It's when you speak, it makes me think of the way, even in this country, women dress and move and carry themselves in the way that they are taught to do through the bombardment of media images. It's sort of another kind of colonialism.
Absolutely. And images are really very, very powerful. For instance, if you take historical films in Africa, because through colonization is taking away of land, it is exploitation of human resources. But again, colonization is a fight over representation. The way you see it, I remember being a young person coming into college. My only dream, I have to go to France. Anybody who wants to be somebody has to go to France. Just because we have been made to convince that France is it. That Africa, France is the center, we are at the periphery. Even now, if you become president in any African country, you only get your legitimacy once you go to visit the Élysée Palace in Paris. That's what just the sad reality is.
Well, yeah, and so many of the leaders of Latin American countries studied at Harvard or some of these other universities.
Well, they say to educate a grown-up is to write on water. To educate a child is to engrave on stone. That's why colonialism understood that if they have to win the hearts, it is not through guns, it is through the alphabet.
Well, so we have this film festival coming up, The African Effect, and as you've said, more of the people who are going to see these films are Americans, are Westerners, or so on, in this country, and perhaps in Europe as well. So what political good or effect could our seeing these films have on the larger body politic in Africa?
Oh, very, very important that in this corner of America, even if there are only 10 people who wake up and watch an African film, it means that the African voice is being heard somewhere. I mean, from a continent that was completely silent. And second, I am convinced that it is not America that is going to liberate Africa. It is not Europe that is not going to liberate Africa. It is not China that is going to liberate Africa. It is Africans who are going to liberate Africa. But then, if you can make it with outside allies, that's even better. You build bridges. And for me, cinema is a way of building cultural bridges. Every morning I walk into my class and talk about one African country. Two students are intently listening at me. I think I did a good job.
Samba Gajigo and Jason Silverman are co-curators of the African Effect Film Festival, which runs through the 18th of May, which is Sunday, at the CCA Santa Fe, the Center for Contemporary Arts. For more information, 982-1338, and ccasantafe.org on the web has the schedule and all of it. Fantastic movies, and the two of you did an incredible job co-curating this, and we look forward to seeing you at the movies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott will be with us in a moment. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he is with us every Friday speaking of the arts. Hey, Robert, I thought you were on vacation.
Vacation? I've been on vacation. I am on vacation, but I couldn't leave you in the lurch, so
oh.
I staggered out of bed, and I threw on a pair of jeans, and I came
and
over
you,
here.
And you gunned it back last night from Grant's, where you stay in that very special spa motel right off of the exit on the highway.
Oh, you know that place?
Sure.
It got raided again the night before. Thank God I wasn't over then.
Did it get a... it got raided?
Yeah.
It got a five-star rating?
No, it was a police raid. The places I hang out on always get that happening.
Ah, yes.
I decided to show up for your little show, but I am heading off again somewhere, so I'm supposed to go back to work on Monday, but I think I'm going to be in Gallup then, so...
Well, you just gallop back from Gallup when it's time for you to do so. But what's happening this weekend?
What a weekend. What a weekend.
What a weekend. The African Effect. If you do nothing else, ladies and gentlemen, go to some of those movies.
Unless you want to go see Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Camel Rock.
Yeah, but you can do both.
Yeah, you're right, because Joan Jett's Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Camel Rock. You got to pay to get in. Check out Ticketmaster.com for the information. It's Wednesday night. That's also the night of Cow Bop. You know about Cow Bop?
Why, no.
Why, it's the Cowboy Jazz Western Swing Ensemble. They're doing this as part of the Route 66 Challenge, which raises money for mentoring children. 7:30 p.m. Wednesday night. Where? Bumblebee's Baja Grill on Jefferson Street downtown. No charge, but because they are trying to raise money, donations are accepted. Check out wayoutwestmusic.com. 820-2862 is the information. This is also a Wednesday night event along with Joan Jett and the Blackhearts up at Camel Rock. There's a lot of theater going on this weekend, according to the Pasatiempo calendar, which I just picked up on
my way. A lot of what?
Teatro, theater.
Oh. Yeah, you know something about that.
Yeah.
Playwright, actor, and man about town that you are.
Well, certainly all of the above, even when I'm in Grants.
You're really a man about town there.
You're not kidding. Some town. The
some
subject
man.
Was Rose. She's so good to me when I'm on vacation. I show
what,
up.
What, I'm not good to you the rest of the time?
No, I got that phone call this morning saying, I can't get anybody to fill in. You're one of a kind. Please come on my show.
Was that me?
Yes, it was
you. Are you sure?
It was you. I jump in my car from Grants and I drive out here. You try driving across the New Mexico landscape at 6 a.m., seeing the sun come up.
Yeah, life is tough.
It
but
is
someone's got to do it.
Tough. I got out of bed at 10 o'clock yesterday. It was 10 o'clock at night. The subject was roses. Santa Fe Playhouse presents the gala opening performance of Frank Gilroy's Pulitzer Prize-winning drama. 8 o'clock tonight. There's a story in Pasatiempo by me about it. It premiered on Broadway in 64 or 65 with Jack Albertson as one of the three characters, along with Martin Sheen and his son. And interestingly, Maura Studi, local actress, singer, director, Jack Albertson was her dad, so she's directing this production. I have a feeling that's going to be really interesting. I can't get to see it until next weekend, but I will go. If you want to laugh tonight, and assuming there's tickets left, call the Lenzic at 988-1234 and see if you can get into Comedy Rehab. This is Paul Rodriguez bringing an ensemble of very talented Latino comics, Sheila Rivera, Gene Pampa, who's hilarious, Manny Maldonado. They're going to be playing at 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow at the Lenzic, and they're going to be filming it for a comedy documentary.
Oh, that's right.
So if you go, I think you have to agree to sign a form saying that if they catch you on film in the audience, you're in the movie.
And as we've discussed, you got to do your hair, man.
What do you mean we've discussed?
Comb your mustache.
Well, slow down. Who, me?
Anybody who's going.
There's always some sort
you might be on camera.
Inspiration or something about my facial looks, particularly in a morning like this when I... You know, just stumble out of bed to come over and help you out, and all of a sudden there's, preambulations about my aspirations and stuff. It's just my mustache.
Preambulations?
All right, I'm going to take care of that. Don't worry.
What?
Doubt, a Parable continues at El Museo Cultural. Really good show. 8 o'clock tonight, 660-2379. Into the Woods at Santa Fe High. Once again, I mentioned last week that I saw it. I think it's a pretty good show. Joey Chavez directed, if you like the Stephen Sondheim musical. This is a fairly good production. 8 o'clock Santa Fe High Theater on Yucca Street. Oleana is a new, is a David Mamet play from the early 90s, but it's the new company, the Coop Theater, is presenting it at Wiseful Studios on Agua Fria, Unit D. Got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number, 763-226-9704. And I have to mention that the Eldorado Teen Players are presenting Richard O'Brien's musical, The Rocky Horror Show.
I know. We had a few of them on yesterday.
You did?
We played the Time Warp.
From the movie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is sort of the stage version. It's naughty.
Which preceded the movie version.
Yeah, plus it came first. 8 o'clock, James A. Little Theater, New Mexico School for the Deaf. You got to pay to get in, 466-4656.
Hey, the Human Rights Torch Relay is May 18th. That is Sunday. And they're calling for human rights in China as the Beijing Olympics approach. It's on the plaza in Santa Fe from 10 in the morning till 7 in the evening. From 1 to 3, the torch march and public rally. Our mayor, David Koss, will be there. There's a lighting of the torch and much, much more. For more information, 603-4959.
Now, what do you know about this book called Murder at the Bad Girls Bar and Grill?
Nah, nothing, but I'd like to know more.
Well, it was written by N.M. Kelby. N.M., as you know, stands for New Mexico. And she's going to be there to sign copies of her book and read from it. Murder at the Bad Girls Bar and Grill. It's the sort of place I was in Grants the other night. At 7 o'clock on May 17th, which, just so you know, is tomorrow. And you're probably wondering where.
I am wondering where.
Well, I'm still getting myself together, but it's at the Collected Works Bookstore.
Yay.
This is a presentation of the Santa Fe Art Institute. Terrific little organization over there in the College of Santa Fe. They're having an open studio visit Thursday night at 5:30.
Yes, I'm going to have some of their residents on Tuesday. They've got some amazing people over there.
And I think you and I should show up for that.
Well, I think you're right.
Because there's going to be like the 10 artists that are there in residency. You can go and visit their studios, see what they're working on, chat with them. 5:30 Thursday night at the Santa Fe Art Institute on the College of Santa Fe campus, 1600 St. Michael's Drive. It is free and open to the public, as is the book signing by N.M. Kelby. Although, if you buy a copy of the book, guess what? You got to pay for it.
Well, that's fair enough.
It certainly is.
Hey, the Biome Neuro Norb continues at Meow Wolf Gallery, which is on 2nd Street right near the corner of Cerrillos Road, this weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th, from 6 to 10 in the evening. And all sorts of crazy stuff going on over there. You look at the picture, and you don't even know what to make of it. But it's whatever happens at Meow Wolf is always fun.
Now, what do you know about the Santa Fe Skate Fest?
Nothing.
Well, I'll tell you about it. Saturday, 8 in the morning, if you can think about getting up at that time on
Not
a Saturday.
Me.
I don't mind getting up for, like, those Looney Tunes cartoons, but remember that one with the little owlie that sings, I Like to Sing-a? We were talking about that the other day. I like to sing about the moon and Juna. That's a good one. Anyway, Santa Fe Skate Fest takes place 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock on Saturday out at the Chavez Community Center at 3221 Rodeo Road. It's an adult and youth ice skaters from New Mexico, Colorado, and Texas. They're going to compete. There's no charge. It's free. It's not like roller derby. You're not going to go and see all these, like, vivacious young women slamming each other in the face with their elbows like I did last month over there at the college. That was a fun time, let me tell you. Never saw anything better than that, except for that old movie with Raquel Welch. Also, if you want, on Saturday, go to the Institute of American Indian Arts Museum downtown at Cathedral Place for the free Stories from Our Elders Native American Storytelling Festival. This could be really fun. This is 10 o'clock to 3, Saturday, downtown Institute of American Indian Arts. It's free. 983-1777. There's also, as you probably know, the Santa Fe Farmers Market over there in the Pera Building parking lot.
Yes.
7 to noon on Saturday. Santa Fe Artist Market continues from 9 to 3 in Casa Solana Shopping Center on Alameda Street. And the Museum of International Folk Art Flea Market. It's a benefit sale donated by Friends of the Folk Art Museum. You might find everything from, Tinker Toys to somebody's pair of blue jeans to painting nobody wanted. You may want it.
And speaking of something that nobody wants,
yeah,
I got an email from Melissa, which has in it a picture of this beautiful German Shepherd boxer mix named Baby, who needs a home because his mom got old and can no longer take care of the dog. And it's just the cutest thing. I'm sorry, but I love boxers, and this Shepherd boxer mix is, I mean, I would get this dog myself if I didn't already have three dogs. You can call 841-4139 at 841-4139. And I think from Santa Fe you have to call, you have to dial 505.
Speaking of doggies, look at the final frame of Pasa Tiempo today by Jane Phillips.
That's dogs.
Photographer.
There's no doubt but that that is dogs.
And she's a New Yorker, by the way, and she's taken a beautiful photo of dogs at the dog park. I think I recognize all those dogs.
And actually, there, I got another dog email. Is this from a different person? Another dog email about some other extremely lovely, cute, sweet dogs who are in the pictures just curled up against each other, and they're fluffy and all sorts of different colors. Let me see what the phone number is to get in touch with these dogs.
Meanwhile,
go ahead.
Saturday night, Judy Garland, Headlines and Heartaches. Julie Trujillo doing a one-woman show about Judy Garland.
Okay, here's the number for these other two cute, adorable dogs, 795-2831, and it's Alex.
Julie's doing Judy at 8:30 p.m. Saturday at the Silver Starlight Lounge, Rainbow Vision, Santa Fe, 500 Rodeo Road. There's a story in today's Pasa Tiempo about it. What time is it?
8:46.
Oh, man, I got to do 12 more minutes of this, huh?
Yeah, I can do it.
No, I don't mind.
Hey, Camp Love Wave, this Saturday, right here on KSFR, the fourth in a series of conversations with neo-economists talking about what the heck is going on with our economy. Jim Willick, PhD in statistics, discusses the lies that run our economy.
Neo, what's neo mean?
New.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yes.
So something like neo-noir, it's like new noir?
Yes.
So if I'm like, if somebody says I'm neo-cute, how does that work?
It doesn't.
That person was lying to me. Verve Gallery of Photography, 219 East Marcy Street, has an opening today, 5 to 7 p.m., called Amici della Galleria, New Mexico Photographers. It's a group show, and it's running through July 12th. And if you go to the Pasa Tiempo page 28, you will see my story with Katarina Fagerin, who's one of these photographers. She's a captain in the Marine Reserves, and she took photos of her peers, her Marine buddies, and children in Iraq. They're really pretty interesting. It looks like it's going to be a great show. She's one of four or five photographers in that show.
Yeah, I got emails from several of those photographers, and it looks amazing.
That's
one really to go to, the Verve Gallery.
I agree. It's tonight, reception 5 to 7. Claudia Marr has a reception tonight for Nancy Scheinman, new paintings, 5 to 7. And Artistas de Santa Fe has Flight of Fancy, The Birds and Imagined Landscapes of Barbara Carter, reception 5 to 7. You're on 228B Old Santa Fe Trail, even though you have to enter from Alameda. Meanwhile,
back at the ranch,
the Crawfish Boil is taking place at 2nd Street Brewery the next 2 days.
Cool.
7 world-class beers on tap. Starting tomorrow with live music, Jim Almond will be playing, the Hot Club of Santa Fe will be playing, Ben Wright will be playing, the Gumbo Project will be playing. There's bicycle rides. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening, all tied in with crawfish. Head on down 2nd Street at the railroad tracks, 982-3030.
Hey, and this Saturday night, the Mambo Room continues. Although Cloud Cliff Restaurant has closed, the Mambo Room continues at Cloud Cliff on Saturday night. Music with DJ Mambo at 9:30, and the cover charge includes a New York salsa dancing class from 8:30 to 9:30. And it's good stuff. I heard that, yeah. is this true that Preto y Parranda is at the El Dorado tonight?
El Dorado.
It's a salsa double header tonight.
8:30 p.m.
8:30 tonight,
there's,
and then 8:30 tomorrow night.
There ain't much.
Heavens to
charge.
Murgatroyd. That's so great.
Heavens to, I remember that guy. Wasn't he great?
Yes.
What was his name? Oh, Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss.
He was that cute little kitty cat. He was on the same show as Huckleberry Hound and Yogi Bear.
You
and,
just get so excited.
Well, my head's been pounding between these earphones, so suddenly you mentioned something that, you know, sort of interrogates me into new heights. So.
Interrogates you.
Yeah.
So, okay, this Friday, today, the 16th of May at 7:30, Cocopelli Blues Show at San Felipe's Hollywood Casino, exit 252 off of the Interstate 25. It's an all-ages show to support the effort to save La Bajada Mesa, which, of course, ties in the whole Galisteo Basin and the efforts for oil and gas or whatever. For more information, you can call 505-629-6580.
And this is the weekend of the annual El Dorado Studio Tour out in El Dorado. Roughly 100 artists at about 70 studios, 10 to 5 Saturday, 10 to 5 Sunday. 466-3256, or check out eldoradoartstart.org, or read the Pasatiempo. I believe Craig Smith has a story in there about this today.
Read the Pasatiempo is the operative word.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to
don't listen
yet,
to us.
Because I've been on vacation, but...
Hey, and the event that I just mentioned that's at San Felipe's Hollywood Casino also includes Levi and the Plateros, Keith Cicola and the Wild Band, Gary Farmer and the Troublemakers, and special guest star Naya and Slidin' Clyde Roulette.
Remember Gary
I just wanted to
Lewis
say all those
Playboys?
Words.
They were great.
Who?
Who wants to buy Gary Lewis and the Playboys?
How about Gary this Puckett and the Union Gap?
Yeah, that's right. He always sang stuff too back then. Here's a talk for you. You want something to do. It's Thursday night. You want to be edified with some education.
Oh, yes.
Carol Troyan is going to be speaking about Common Ground, the romance of landscape for Adams, O'Keefe, and friends.
She's a curator at the Boston Museum of Fine Arts.
She certainly is, and she's going to be talking about this. It's sort of in conjunction with the upcoming opening of the Ansel Adams George O'Keefe exhibit over at the O'Keefe. She'll be talking 6 o'clock Thursday night at the St. Francis Auditorium at the New Mexican Museum of Art at 107 West Palace Avenue. You got to pay to get in, but there ain't much money. Here's a phone number, 946-1007. Reservations are indeed recommended.
Recommended.
That same night, there's ballroom and Latin dancing at 7:30. At the dance station on Alameda in the Solana Center.
More Latin dance.
Yeah.
Life is good.
It's not bad at all. You can also Scottish dance if you like. You know anything about that?
No.
Well, let's say you're interested in Scottish folk
dancing. We talked
dancing.
About this last time. It might involve having to wear a kilt if you're a dude.
We don't really know if that's the case, but it's Friday from 7:30 to 10:30 at Oddfellows Hall. That's tonight. Small cover charge includes a lesson. 983-4002. Now,
hey, check this out. Uh-huh. Desserts with Desiree, Friday, May 16th. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at the United Church of Santa Fe. It's a benefit whose beneficiary is the Friendship Brigade, a micro-lending group that helps Guatemalan women start and grow businesses. At the event, Desiree Mays will talk about the 2008 Santa Fe opera season. There will be delicious desserts and Guatemalan jewelry and photographs and cards and all sorts of good things. For more information, 984-1420.
Let's talk about stuff you want to do. You want to volunteer, maybe you want to audition for play.
We are talking about stuff you want to do.
Yeah, but now let's talk about you want to be a participant, not just a, what happens when
spectator.
You're just a spectator?
What happens?
Yeah, what are you? When you're a spectator, you're just what, a viewer?
You're a spectator.
Just so you know, I'm going to haul off. And I show up on early.
You're going to haul off? You're going
to
haul off?
Just in a minute.
Go ahead.
Give
make
me a second
my day.
To get my
haul
head back
off.
On, okay. All right. So the Greer Garson Theater Company's Summer Staged Reading Series, which takes place in June, they're looking for actors of all types, and you know what? They pay. You got to present a one-minute monologue. Auditions are noon to 5, Sunday and Monday, at the Weckerser Studio Theater in the Greer Garson Theater Center on the College of Santa Fe campus, St. Michael's Drive. I'm going to give you a phone number to call. 473-6439. Actors of all types needed for 4 original plays directed by directors, and it's going to take place in June. Swing by there. Warehouse 21 is doing its first play. I am not involved with it. It's an original dark comedy by Winston Morris Green. They're looking for young actors. 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday at the new Warehouse 21 building. Call 603-7612 if you wish to audition.
Now, if you want to get your hands dirty, you can learn to make straw bale and earth plaster and lime plaster and earthen floors and all sorts of good things. And there's schedules happening now and throughout the summer. For more information, 895-5029.
But wait, who's that for?
For anybody.
Why don't you go out? You volunteer to go out and get your hands dirty?
No, you want to learn to do it.
Maybe with the garden.
Yeah, well, you can do that in my house, too.
Yeah, I know. All right, let's say you got a kid. You don't know what to do with him. Go over to the Santa Fe Children's Museum, talking about things you can do with your hands. They're going to have painting with marbles. 9 to noon today. How can you paint with marbles?
It's not marbleized paper or something like that?
It says painting with marbles.
Because I'm going to do a show on marbled paper coming up, and it's really interesting, this whole phenomenon of paper marbling. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Sunday.
This is a different thing, I suppose.
I guess so, too. At the Children's Museum, they're having Grandparents Day. Clan Tinker will perform, and there'll be tea and cookies. Also, a balloon artist will be on hand to do balloon stuff. And finally, they're going to have art and building activities through later in the week, usually in the afternoon. The museum's at 1050 Old Pecos Trail. You can get in for just $1 on Sunday. I hope that's okay to say if you're a New Mexico resident, because like many museums here in the state and the city, on Sunday. New Mexico residents get in either free or for just a buck. I think that's pretty good, don't you?
I think it's fabulous.
I'll probably be in bed, but which you can get into a lot cheaper than a dollar, by the way. Kenny Skywolf.
What are you trying to say?
Cowgirl Bar and Grill Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. You got to pay to get in. David Geist at Pranzo that night playing piano. I love a piano, a grand piano. Monday night at the Cowgirl, there's Cowgirl Karaoke, 9 o'clock. You and I keep threatening to go to that, but we never quite get there.
You keep threatening me.
Well, I'd like to go and see you do some karaoke.
Not on your life.
Tonight is Radio Free Santa Fe night. I hope that's okay to stay at the 10 Star, 4 to 8 o'clock, no cover.
We love Honey Harris.
Honey Harris, how you doing? Jerry Carthy is at the Hilton tonight at 8:30, doing Irish tunes. Santa Fe Brewing Company has Jaka, which is a marimba percussion ensemble, 7 o'clock, slight cover charge. This is all tonight. Saturday night, music includes Bill Hearn's Roadhouse Review at the Camel Rock Casino, 8 o'clock, Saturday. Dinner for Two has the Early Bridge Duo, violin and C-E-L-L-O. How do you pronounce that?
What? Cello?
Yeah, that's it. 8 to 10 o'clock at Dinner for Two on Guadalupe. And the Stomp House has Pat Malone with Whitney, jazz, 8 to 11 o'clock. This is all Saturday night. Most of them are no cover. Some of them do have a cover charge. We're not allowed to say prices on the wonderful KSFR.
But you know what? Raheem Al-Hajj with Zach Keir is going to be at Gig on 2nd Street in Santa Fe at 8 o'clock on Saturday night as well. And Raheem Al-Hajj is an incredible oud musician and composer born in Baghdad.
It'd be nice to have some musicians with just one name, wouldn't it? Like Madonna or... Wouldn't it be good if they said, my name is Joey, here's my songs, and they just started singing?
What does that have to do with Raheem Al-Hajj?
Well, it's just that all the names we just mentioned are two names. They got a first name and a last name.
That's three names.
What?
I've got three names.
Well, some people have two and some have three. I'm just saying, wouldn't it be good if somebody said, hello, my name is John, I'll be playing for you tonight.
That sounds like a waiter. Hello, yeah. My name is Tiffany, I'll be your waitress tonight.
Charles Tishner or Pat Malone or... Nacho Mendez. Nobody ever says, hi, my name is, Audrey.
Okay, so I think my pick of the weekend, besides the Latin music events, which I am partial to, is the African Effect Film Festival. I mean, lots of other good stuff, That is amazing.
That sounds pretty good. You might also be interested in Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Camel Rock. Are we done? What time is it?
It's 8:58.
That's good.
Your timing is impeccable.
Not bad. Almost there.
Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us here as he is virtually every Friday.
Wonderful.
Speaking of the arts, it's wonderful to have you today. I'm glad you came, and I'm honored that you came, even though it's your vacation. You drove all the way in from Flagstaff, and you're driving all the way out to Cimarron as soon as the show is over. Robert Knott is fabulous, and we will see you next week. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We're also podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want to listen, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can also subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Laurel Reynolds for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, Jazz a la Carte. I'm talking really fast so that we can spend the rest of the show listening to you sing.
I'm leaving.
No.
I'm done.
No, sing.
Because you're almost mine. And then we'll find a paradise so rare. So close your eyes, close your eyes. Baby, close your eyes, because, honey, we're almost there.
Hasta la vista. Yeah.